Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
Hello and welcome to the last session on the innovation and technologies stage at Techvittori. Welcome, happy to see you still here up and running, either on enthusiasm or coffee, whatever makes you happy. We're happy that you are here and we are ready for our last session. Just a reminder, we do have a microphone in case we have time for questions. If you have questions, dear participants online, we welcome them in the comments section. And I hope we have a great time in our last discussion here on this stage, which will be about 5G systems, hashtag 5G for lives. As 5G technology becomes more and more reliable, more high-risk sectors, for example, emergency services, can adopt these technologies. So today we're going to explore amongst the many topics, the project 5G for Lives, which is an ambitious initiative that combines 5G connectivity with cutting-edge technology. Many different use cases that probably our dear participants will talk about. We are ready, they are ready, so let's get to it. To introduce the participants, right next to me, representing LMT, its innovation project lead, Evia Pluane. Let's put your hands together, welcome her on the stage. Next up, the senior inspector at Civil Aviation Agency, Mr. Juris Grants. The director at Riga Digital Agency, Arnis Gulbis. Representing Riga City Council, its strategic planning manager, Stanislav Shejko. And our dear moderating, leading this whole discussion, he is the managing director at Vefresh Viestor, Celminch. All right, let's get to it.
Thank you for introduction. Can we all hear us, myself including? Someone says yes, nodding. I see nodding in the audience. Fantastic. For the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to have a panel. Before we continue with the panel, this is an open call and invitation for all of you. Since we have been 2 days in here, we're happy to have you have questions during the panel. So raise a hand. Someone is going to get a microphone to you. So we have a lively debate. Why? Because I believe, and I always believe so, that we have fantastic competence, not just on here on the stage, but also in the audience. So please feel free to have any questions. Shoot them as soon as you can. And unless we have addressed that, we're going to be happy to have you as soon as possible. Our conversation is going to be structured in three areas. Very, very short about the project itself, where we are. Number two, what do we think that the 5G will bring into the conversation, especially when it comes to BVLOS flights or beyond vision of sight, if anyone's knowledgeable with that. And third of all, safety that we are expecting from these flights. Why? As you may have noticed, when we drive vehicles around city, we get used to having collisions. Cars bumping into other people, you know, cross on a red light, not so bad. Someone gets a little funky. We get used to that. Not so with airspace. Only takes once for a drone to go astray. The whole country is sort of on its back foot. If drone falls down, it's a big issue. It falls down in public area. It's basically once is enough for the whole industry to be on a back foot. So again, this is why the planning and safety is paramount, and we'll be very, very keen to discuss in detail. So this is the three areas we're going to be going into detail. And again, you're more than welcome to intervene with the questions at any point and address them to our fantastic panelists on the stage. So without further ado, let us jump into it. For those of you not familiar, the 5G Lives is a project which is funded by Connecting European Facility. It started back in January 2024, or this year, along with a municipality in Italy, Torino, where they have a use case using the drones to monitor their environment, especially when it comes to landslides and other natural calamities. While in Riga and in Latvia specifically, we're focusing on public areas where the drones will be used to monitor beachfront in Vasati as well as Tišezers. We're not there just yet. We're building the systems for deployment, but this is the hard work so that once we do that, they're safe and secure and smooth and actually delivering value, as Arnis was saying before the panel. Let's make sure that this project isn't just a tick in a box, but actually delivers value and perhaps opens up a front for monitoring in real time, and especially addressing addressing the critical services. So this is a little background of where we are, why we do this, and where we're going to be going again in 2025, 2026, both in Latvia and Italy. So let's move on with our first question. Again, in three stages as we'll be following, and again, happily to have you on board with questions and comments, recommendations you may have. First of all, airspace planning, usage of BVLOS. This is a fairly recent development, especially when it comes to outside of military. They've been doing this for years, not so in urban environments and cities. Let's start with Stanislaus here on my left. The progress that we've made in technical, legal, and sort of critical services component. And then let's move on with Arnis, Ilmars, and Evie as well.
Okay, good afternoon, colleagues. It's glad to see you here. Let me provide a really short description of situation we have for you to understand why we are moving on BVLOS flights. In Riga, we have a lot of rescue stations on the river, on the Lake Kišezers, on the shore, where the police provide the rescue operations. And mostly it's like classical type of operation when we have a rescue guy on the shore with binoculars or sitting in the boat. And for the last 3 years, we're also using drones for these rescue operations and patrolling. But the two problems came here, what we have figured out. First of all, the rescue guy is also the pilot. And in the moment when he needs to go to jump in the boat, he also piloting the drone. And the second problem is that the drone is flying in his like direct sight, direct vision. And then the problem of big territories like lakes or the river or the sea comes on the first place. So that's why we facing with this problem, we tried to go on 5G technology that allows us to have the BVLOS flight. So here our way to the BVLOS starts, because previously in Latvia nobody has using the BVLOS flight, and we as a state institution for rescue operations are going with this project to have 5G drones operating in 5G network flying BVLOS with pilots who are not rescue officers on the shore in the boat, who are sitting in the command and control center and doing this.
So critical service,
yes,
becoming more efficient,
of course,
more speedy, more in real time.
Yes, of course. And also, as we know, and I suppose each European country, law enforcement faces problem, the lack of personnel. So we need to have the very competent guy on the water who can dive, and also competent guys who are pilots who don't need to be divers or rescuers. So we separate them and we use this limited personnel to make more and more operations.
Thank you, Stanislaus. Arnis, over to you, Digital Agency. Overhaul of the digital services in the municipality. This is one arm of them. And please provide a vantage point from the municipal sector that we're having here.
Of course, the first point is the safety for the citizens. But from the technical perspective, we have used like Riga, this video surveillance center for, I don't know how many years, 10 plus?
20, almost,
yeah,
20,
almost
years.
20 years. Currently, we have the, like more than 300 cameras monitored daily. So, but with the central monitoring, we see that how the work efficiency for and safety is increasing. We are much faster. We can react on some incidents. We see those incidents, and those operators are looking on the nearest
patrols,
controls, yeah, and send for the quick response. I believe this drone project is one more extra option. Have to monitor and take the real-time situation monitoring on areas where you cannot get easy access to. And that's the value, what we expect from it. And I believe if the project will be successful, I truly believe it will be, we will use them more and more.
I think this is an important aspect for us to keep in mind, especially in Europe. There is at least, I would say, a growing suspicion about monitoring, especially in municipalities. I think this is one of the areas where I think we're happy to have monitoring because it actually may save lives, especially on a waterfront. It may involve young adults or kids, et cetera, where I think this monitoring is actually delivering value, especially because of the optimization and amount of coast guards you have, and more important, again, because the people's eyes and binoculars only reach that far. The drone can be up there in 300-400 meters into the sea level, into the coast, which is helpful. Yuris Grants, over to you. This is a new page returning into airspace, which most likely has been populated by planes, and now we have these new players in the field, so to say. Your vantage point from the airspace planning?
Oh, yeah, the airspace planning, that's a big topic. And of course, we are touching a lot of items and areas, etc. So it's not that new for us, in a way, the BVLOS flights as such, because we have some operators in Latvia who are having these airspaces available for them, where they can fly BVLOS. And one is a manufacturer of drones in Latvia. They've been using for quite some time. And of course, by reviewing their applications, we learn from it. And regarding airspace-wise, so the police would have the benefits as an operator, in a way. When it comes to the ground rules, they would not have so much benefits when it comes to airspace use, because this airspace must be shared equally. And that is kind of where we have to find a balance between all the players. And also, there is a lot of traffic, especially if you touch the airspace near the airports and air drones, and then we have at least two near the area where the police is about to operate. And also then there are the traffic who would land on the water during the summertime. We would expect some there. So it's all the combination of many items and questions and the balances and risks. So the solution was found. Again, we support, and I think many would support these trials to learn from it, to gain the knowledge and maybe some use cases for the future. Of course, it's not flexible in the means that the airspace is kind of fixed. It's only there. You cannot play around with it. You cannot apply easily across the country. So, but anyway, I think it's happening as it looks like, at least from the airspace perspective. And we will be seeing to learn from it more, and maybe here on the ground, how it's actually, is the pilot then able to achieve the goals and objectives they have.
I think this is important that we discussed also before our meeting, that this is a pilot, not just for the use case itself, but also a pilot, how do we create and build these road infrastructures up in the air? How do we make that they're safe and secure again? Because the risks of something going wrong is paramount. And again, we're used to having collisions back on ground, but not so in air. Use cases, Evia, this is a use case for 5G. We're happy to have one. Finally, we've had these conferences every year. Now, finally, we have a use case, which is real, which is critical, which is Europe has funded and sees as a big turn for us in BVLOS. From a telco perspective, is this a use case you've been sort of looking for, and are we getting there? Is this a new page that we're turning here?
Yeah, to describe our role in this situation, I will try to zoom out a little bit. If we are talking about digitalization, more or less it's clear for us on the ground level. But now we have to separate. Last several years, we already work not just for digitalization of ground level, but there is a new space, airspace, and we have to digitalize also this airspace part. So it means that we see that our infrastructure is the critical one to make the basic for the future, and all these new use cases for this digitalized airspace area, it's a very, very big advantage for us to develop this infrastructure for user future use cases.
We'll come back to 5G, and especially when it comes to providing infrastructure. Let's move on with what we have here from the legal and planning framework. Again, because not many mistakes are there. However, amount of players that we have inhabiting the airspace is increasing. It wasn't the case that the civil sector can even be there. it was basically the very few candidates, and now it's getting more and more and more populated. So there's an idea floating around in the business sector that we don't have enough speed. Things are moving way too slow. And where would you stand with this provocation? I would say it's almost provocation to say that we are too slow and we're not moving fast enough, that some areas of the world are perhaps faster. Is there anything that we can sort of counter-argue against this?
Probably yes, because the case of Riga is interesting because it's not only the capital city with a lot of people under the drones flying, but we also have the planes, the drones. And that's why in this situation, from my perspective, we can't give any discount for the safety, because you told everything correct. We get used to traffic collisions, but in case if the drone even operated by the state institution or when it's operated by the state institution, fall on the heads of the people, or in worst case scenario, gets up and crashes the plane, we can forget about Bivalo's flights for, I don't know, decades in case of Riga. So in this situation, I don't agree that we are too slow, because now when we go with our project in cooperation with civil aviation agency, with other partners, going through SORA protocols, trying to make it as safe as possible, we already, I would say after the half of the year, we already are ready to start flying. We are facing still some issues, but probably we'll deal with them in next few months. So I would say for an operator who want to have this Bivalo's flight in such condition, we have here big city airport, two airports in fact, half of a year to make all documentation or protocols is not very crucial, because safety is safety.
Great, Juris, I'm going to follow up on that. Moving forward, do we see and do we notice that the speed with which we're moving is accelerating? In other words, safety is paramount, and so is security, and we don't want to make any mistakes here. But how would you judge, are we getting faster over the red tape, if there is one? And are we getting sort of to the place where we're saying, well, such as Stanislav's comment, that we're moving fast enough, and that it shouldn't be a month before we can be up in the air. It should be, due diligence should be done by the public sector here.
No, again, the big topic, the fast enough. So we should decide where we are running, what is the direction we must achieve. So just running for running's sake would be, well, we can do that for good exercise. We have to keep in shape, etc. So, but that's one part. The red tape, of course, that we can call that in some places, but still, the red tape would be not the application, not the regulation, our process in CA to review your application. The red tape would be not to fall on the people on the ground. The red tape would be not to endanger people who are out there in the air. So that would be the red tape, and then, of course, you have to take your time. As, for example, the driving lessons, some people take longer, some people take less. So we have to see where we are running and what is the bigger picture, where we want to be in some time. So, I think we can discuss this a lot.
But for understand, once we increase the amount of use cases, the speed with which we can move forward towards deployment will also increase. The more the use cases, the speed will accelerate. Stanislav, you had a point.
Very short comment to give the hope for everybody. The Kishezers and the Weseki is territories where just start moving, and we're pioneers in this area. So when we will get through all the procedures and start flying, we'll create the blueprint, and it will speed up other companies, other institutions to go our steps. So probably we need to start slowly, and then we can increase the speed.
Which is the innovator's dilemma. You are the first in line, and you have to sort of eat the bigger piece of information here. Deployment also requires much more time. Once we get that, the template is there. We can move faster with greater security and confidence that we're in a good ground. Moving to 5G, unless anyone has to point, Arnis?
There is one more area when we are pioneers. This is the procurement process. And right. Currently there are no regulations in Latvia, and also Europe is struggling with that. about those innovative procurements, and that's the way, new way of procure everything what is needed for public sector. Everyone is used to be on and to use those regular procurement with well-known products, described ones and so on. In this case, we are buying something completely unknown, which is totally new as a technology, as an end product, and actually we can't define at this moment. We still don't know the final price and final cost of the project. So of the running those drones, and then there are, and this is something which where also the legal part and the public procurement office needs to adapt. And this is the we see there will be challenges in this part as well,
which I think is a great issue to be said. What is the role of public sector in procuring innovation? We want the public services to be innovative. We want them to be driven by quality. Our citizens deserve the best, and especially when it comes to security. However, if municipalities are bogged down by multiple paperwork
rules and
conditions, which obviously make the work even more difficult, that's a big issue, whether and how the public sector will be innovating and at which speed. Moving over to Evie, over to 5G. So the from now this use case being in the market, do we have everything in place to ensure security and safety from your private sector perspective, especially in dense urban areas? In other words, we know it's more demanding to fly a drone in a city rather than somewhere in the outskirts of where just woods are there. And what advances have we been made, and where are we looking at, especially in this project?
All we know is the statement that when in United States they start to create, discover, in Asia somebody starts to copy, but Europe prepares the legislation. So I would say at that point we are in very good place with a very good speed regarding to legislation and other restrictions, because this cooperation between agency, between municipality, between industry is very, very good. And this project gives a very good possibility to develop this cooperation. If you are talking about developing of network, 5G network,
yes,
for such kind of use cases, we need these use cases to develop our infrastructure. Because if we don't have this end user, there is no need to develop the infrastructure. So it's a critical need to have. And I see how we can share also lessons learned from this project with other municipalities in our country, and to spread this good practice and to create new use cases. And it will give us possibility to develop also our infrastructure.
Okay, moving forward to Juris and also Evie. So the current sensor network that we have, once we would like to mature and perhaps expand, are we ready to expand, say, in 2 and 3 years, that this would not be a standalone pilot, but it would be a regular service for municipal police to have this, you know, basically a drone fleet doing the patrolling instead of, you know, a man? Is this something of reality in 2, 3, 4, 5 years? In other words, we'll do the pilot. Hopefully, it's going to be successful, and more than that. How far are we from a pilot, then maturing it into an actual fleet doing this job on a regular basis, both in the summer and in the winter? Who wants to take this?
Yes, the sensors, maybe, yeah, that's a different topic. But regarding this, this as a benchmark, as an echelon or standard for future, as I mentioned earlier, of course, this is for police, it's kind of easier. They have some, as a state operator, they have some priorities in a way. Of course, applying it everywhere in the city, in Riga, of course, will be challenging anyway, because this is still BVLOS flight. We might find a way, of course, within existing legislation, etc. So I think, yeah, we have to learn how it goes. Currently, it is a restricted airspace for that specific operation. Of course, other drone operators would be able to coordinate their flight with the police if the police sees it possible. Of course, the other traffic, other piloted traffic would not be able to, in a way, coordinate, because that for them is restricted, and by law, they are not allowed to kind of enter. But again, this is not very high, and so on. There are some distances from aircraft just to keep separation safe. Again, very conservative. Maybe this should be reviewed also at a higher level. I mean, in the laws which are applicable for the airspace and air traffic management, etc. So I hope it will be, by the time this test goes through, which is still some time ahead, we will have better solutions already for this expansion. But then again, of course, if you fly in the city, it will be new. I mean, a city like that freely in Bivilos, again, it opens a lot of boxes for privacy, for the safety on the ground, coordinating it with other drone operators who would want to fly alongside with these flights. So they don't see each other. So they, how would they see each other? So how would you not crash into the somewhere? So a lot of things, yes.
Sure, but just coming back to this challenge. But once we have the use case done in this specific area, say that's at your users, and we have the drone flying, performing the Bivilos of operations in summer and in winter. Obviously, we have scenarios at the back end, and they're synchronized. Once that is done, and we have technology in place, can we then follow up with this protocol to have it on a regular basis? Say, you know, every day during the summer. Is that reality? In other words, does the pilot pave the way, not just for the 5G, but also of replicating that service in that same geography for ongoing months and years?
No, yes, I think it's a good...
If the police can, you know, afford that technologically and from a planning perspective, can pilot pave the way for maturity there?
Yes, so I think from one hand, if the police are learning, does it actually bring the benefits they are expecting? From another hand, then, of course, the airspace, we have to look into details what is allowed. So what is allowed is restricted airspace outside, kind of in the areas where not so many people, and then they would select the routes so not to overfly the assemblies of people. So that, again, applying this could be, if you find in the city, the same, similar environment, of course, then it's
so we'll be able to speed up.
Yes, in a way, yeah. But again, there are a lot of questions for this ground safety. If you want to fly in the city, over the people, over the roads, you have to tick a lot of boxes to make it safe.
Stanislaus?
Yeah, we are touching a very crucial topic here, because in case of our pilot territories, we as a police will provide the allowance to fly or not to fly it. But looking in the future, we see that amount of drones will grow up and other institutions, companies will want to participate in this airspace. And it's a question about one united system for the city, for the municipality, for the state, I don't know. But one system where all pilots, all drones will be visible and will apply for certain operations. So probably from my perspective in the future, we will need to face this command and control system for the whole city or for the whole country.
And again, just to, we still have a bit of a minute here. So my idea is the following. So once we have created a pilot here in Kisteres and Vatsati, then we have exhausted this area. Will the flights in Bivilos there be more secure and more mature and more of them in, say, 5 years? Would that be possible? And then we understand and then apply this logic, say, to Daugava and the riverbank. For instance, in some areas where the swimming is possible. Can we take these learnings and apply these in the other parts of the city and learn from them?
Yes, certainly. And that's why for our pilot territories, we took the water area where is not so many people, not so many buildings and other obstacles to test it, to work with it. And of course, if it goes successfully, and I hope it will go, then we can spread our experience and go step by step to another areas.
Great. Moving into the inevitable AI question, having monitoring in real time increases exponentially the amount of data we're having. At one point, no human can track and trace. This is also an issue of you building software for this use case. How and when do we run into issues similar as of airspace planning when it comes to AI and using the data we're gathering?
Oh, it's
you are challenging. You are quick to
yeah, yes, because it's a challenge. It's we are using artificial intellect for our CCTV in the city, and here in case of rescue operations on the water, it's different because water is always different. And when we need to understand, is it a swimming person or is it seal or is it waves? Here comes a challenge for our partners or other IT companies who work with it. So I pass this question to LMT, but for us, what we see, it will be challenged because it's also challenging for human eye to understand what is happening on the water because of light refraction, wind, and so on, waves and other things.
My question is the following. There's quite a bit of work to be done to deploy a drone BVLOS in reality. Right. The whole point is for them to gather information on what's happening on a waterfront, right, in a beach. And we have to make sure that the models detect that it's a hand being raised because someone's drowning rather than a trash can or plastic bag swimming there. And as it was, this is a question of that in a sense, this is issue, you know, that we have competencies in a project which deal not with drone flights, but with AI and model and teaching the algorithms to detect persons or bodies in the waterfront. So is this competency coming from LMT and how the AI issue comes into the conversation once we speak about monitoring? Evie, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, we of course try to support also from this perspective. As we know, actually, drone as itself is just a vehicle and you have to add this value, this payload in this case, with a solution of artificial intelligence. And of course, we deal now with the problem to get the material for learning this artificial intelligence solution, but we still have 2 years and a very responsive partner, so we already see the next steps, how can we get these materials, and also this use case is very interesting for the perspective of like all season point of view, because during the summertime there's the swimmers, during the winter time there is the fishermen's, and also during the autumn time there is a lot of mushroom pickers and lost children and so on and so on. So it's really, really rich use case, and we really enjoy possibility to develop our solution.
Different threats. Yeah. Different silhouettes, yeah. Different cases that they
yeah.
have to learn.
Yeah.
Arnest, this opens up an issue of monitoring again. The privacy issues, which are paramount, will be next week in Barcelona. That question popped up already and is going to be there. Who and what can has a right to monitor us in public spaces? The people getting little concerned about that. And that's as we spoke before, this is not an issue which is coming down less and less. We're going to be more and more of that in the coming years.
Yeah.
If we want to make use of this technology, we'll have to entrust more and more to the AI and its ever-seeing eye. So where do you stand with the digital agency
on that? The question of data security and privacy always is appearing more and more, like with every project what we are doing, actually. Because we, as a city council, we should be very careful about dealing the citizens' data, and we are facing like many issues, of course, and there are problems on a daily life that there are some data should that when the data should be handled in the right way. But this the municipal police status actually allows us to observe the territories and use the video surveillance solutions and also apply the AI on it. But I believe in Europe we will never be allowed to use the face recognition on the public spaces, only for the like secret services, let's say so. But I wouldn't push so much AI pressure on this drone project for now. But I would start with such different those use cases when we are starting to deal with them to use them on a daily job for policemen, and then we can add this analysis fact on it.
Sorry, go ahead, Stanislaus, please.
But yeah, it's probably will be challenge for the private sector, because in our case, we are, as a state institution, allowed to use this video surveillance because we are under police regular and we do it for public safety. But if we look forward to get more private operators or companies in these BVLOS flights, it probably could be a challenge with this privacy and data protection.
Because in fact, it's the flying video camera.
Yeah. But
let's move. The whole point of this pilot project, and it's an outstanding one. There's a lot of effort, a lot of people, a lot of resources put into that. But obviously, we want to learn from that. We would love to see that this kind of use case will be then maturing and actually operating one way or another. But the following question is, since you're actually doing quite a bit of monitoring of people, and again, use cases, mushroom pickers, children getting lost, someone getting drowned, or breaking into ice in the winter, or skiing, we have numerous questions here. The question is that since you're police, then you have more freedom of that monitoring. But in the future, does that also mean that the AI competency, working with large models and imaging, as well as that's going inside the competency of police? So inevitably, police will have to somehow mature and get bigger to be able to drive this competence for airspace planning, deployment, data visualization, and turning that into a practice. Is that something that we're seeing, that you'll be at the forefront of monitoring services in
yeah,
the
probably.
Environment?
It's already. Actually,
it's already.
At some extent, yes. it's already on police side.
Because you have more freedom to use that than innovation?
First of all, much more freedom. And secondly, another use cases we're already having, for example, with CCTV, with search and rescue, and using of other artificial intellect tools on our CCTV and cameras. So yes, and certainly the amount will grow up. And I would say that in this situation, the European legislation is a little bit slow, because artificial intellect is going faster than the European Parliament writing the laws and norms and regulations.
Right. In other words, what you're saying is that the technology is advanced and our application of that is perhaps lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah. And I suppose the gap will be much more bigger, because we see the progression, how quick the artificial intellect goes up and the law is low. It's really slow process.
Right. We have 15 minutes in the conversation. Does anyone have a question or a comment in the audience, in where we are? Yes, please. There's a mic over here, please. Please. And address the question to somebody in the audience.
Lady from the network management company. I'm just interested whether it's a public 5G network or whether you've built a private 5G network just for this, and whether the 5G network is standalone or non-standalone, just from a practical perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would assume this is heavier.
Yeah. In our days, actually, we have to see as hybrid network in such kind of use cases. In this use case, we will provide the slicing functionality from our perspective, from the perspective of network, to dedicate the separate frequency for the drone flights, for conducting the drone flights through cellular network. It's a solution at the moment. But we are still on the discovering possibilities, because making technology validation and the drones will come, and we will see how will it works in field conditions. So we see that also we will try to find out other alternatives also to test during this project. But at the moment, yeah, the statement is to use a separate frequency for drone flights.
Great. Any more questions in the audience? All right, question over there, please.
Hello, Edwards. Question to CAA. How do you see path forward to airspace digitalization, so we can see all the objects in the sky and how they interact each with another one?
Yes, that's also a big topic. There are some ways already in the regulation, in the laws, the application of these technologies to enable others basically see each other. And also, it's a big topic for those who fly at lower airspaces. Of course, there is higher demand, like we have in Italy, in Swiss, where there are many paragliders, different kind of low altitude flyers. So they have this demand higher. They had a lot of safety cases when hitting each other, and et cetera. So they have developed or maybe applied more these solutions where you can see each other, this conspicuity when you are airborne. So I hope that also in our case you'll be able to go that direction as to meet in the middle between the demands, because of course as you want to, let's say, tell somebody that you have to buy an equipment at some price, of course you have people telling, yeah, but we don't need that equipment, the drones would need that equipment. So it's, you have to find a balance there. So I think that's a discussion which should take place, should be reviewed, and also to invite the general aviation people to the discussion as to how we can help each other, because of course they would also benefit from the sharing of such information. So where they are, where they are when in the air, of course from their perspective, again flying visually, they don't see it like that. So we have to again find the balance for them and for drones.
Okay, any more questions on this? All right, please go ahead. There's a microphone coming your way.
Have you looked at the BVLOS flights that have been conducted in the UK where they were working on this 2 or 3 years ago?
Okay. Anyone want to take care? Any takers on the BVLOS? Okay. Would you like to share your experience on the challenges perhaps for that? If not, then the panelists here.
So I wasn't part of it, but I'm aware of the fact it was undertaken to do two things. One was for doing oversight of rail network.
Okay.
So they could fly them farther along with less faff,
yeah,
than having to keep stopping and moving on. And there was one that was done, supported by Vodafone, which was just looking at the use of drones so that subsequently they could be used for logistic deliveries.
All right. I think this is a big arena. I know a lot of things happening in Finland for deliveries, but I think this is, I would say, a little more thin ice, so to say, because as you increase with intensity, you increase the complexity of management, and then you have to have a command center in place, because again, that's a private sector, and sometimes they are a little lax, especially startups, about the security and safety issues. Okay, any comments on the international experience that you are learning from the BVLOS?
I think what we already to such applications as for BVLOS, the inspections of so at low altitude, the railways, power lines, gas pipes, etc. It's not a big problem in a way, just for the risk assessment point of view and airspace, because when you are flying close to buildings, close to some some shaded or basically in the shadow of something you fly. So of course you would not expect any aircraft there. So of course these applications would be easier from our perspective. We also have a lot of farmers with these authorizations to fly BVLOS for their needs countryside. So they have very low flights at their property. So it's easier to manage the risks and to ensure that there are no people and also no aircraft. So these are working, and we are willing to support as much as we can. Of course, when you bring BVLOS to city, BVLOS to closer to the airports, then it's like, oh, how do you manage the balance, everything? So,
Right, we have about 10, 15 minutes left. If not, no more questions, we're moving on. Societal interests and concerns. One thing we've established in this panel this far, the amount of vehicles driving up in air is not going to go down. Like it or not, this is, unless we close it off and basically close off the technology and industry, this is going to just increase. So with that, it's going to increase also complexity and potential risks that come with that. The private sector and the people and society are open as long as the critical services that we're saving lives, literally saving lives on a beachfront where no man or woman can help them at a speed which drone could denote a bit. What do you think that the major risks are we having right now so that things wouldn't go off the rails, so to say, and we wouldn't have public fallout that we should be keeping in mind to prevent those from happening? Again, as we did address this before, once is enough in this area to set back the industry for years and years onwards. So where are we? And I think generally the public in Latvia is fairly open. We just got a one drone missing in It was a big an issue that came from Russia, so it was a big public scandal. It took only one drone, and quite a big an issue there. But we don't want more of those happening. So where do you think? And again, this is a panel for Christian for all panelists.
I probably will go first because we as police are competent to control these drone flights as well. And I would say the risk is with illegal pilots because we face them a lot. And one accident caused by illegal pilot will stigmatize all official drone operations or legal
law-abiding ones.
Of course, because since we started control these drone operations for like 3 years ago, we see the decrease of amount of illegal pilots flying there. They shouldn't fly, for example, near the airport, but still the amount is quite big. And one case, and this stigmatized all BVLOS flights or VLOS flights for decades, for years.
Solution to that, do you think? Do we have airspace police, like we have road police, municipal police for disorder and Friday night fights? Or
I would say with Donkey and Carrot, from one or another side. So from one side, it's control and punishment. From another side, educational campaigns and maybe some discounts for operations or training and so on. So it's balanced between to be like police, to be straight in control and also to be welcome for pilots who want legally to fly and maybe to provide them some less restrictions or something.
Yuris, you want to take on this one? What do we have first? We're going to first have airspace police, or we're going to have a collision?
No, I think also we should maybe look around. We have already police the police and the driving situation on the roads.
We have border police. We have border police.
Yeah, so the police and so basically it's more about also our attitude, safety culture, understanding the safety, following the rules. Of course, it's not critical. Go higher a little bit. When it's 90, you can go a bit higher. So, but anyway, in general, this safety attitude should be there. And of course, for aviation, many regulations so far were written from learning from the accidents. So the people have died, and also the legislations and the regulations followed, and certification, etc. So we learn from this. Now, of course, if a pilot cheats on his exam aircraft pilot, he cheats on his exam, he risks his life in a way. Of course, if a remote pilot, he sits in his safety on the ground and he risks basically others. So it must be a lot about safety culture and understanding the risks. We will not go away from this.
Evia?
From the perspective of risks, any risk you can convert in possibility. So we know that.
I like the attitude.
We know that small aviation you have ADS-B transponders. Then you can follow and track the aircraft. So the SIM cards is a possibility. Actually, it's already mentioned in the Europe level legislation, such kind of possibility. But we have to implement also in our legislation. And for example, it could be a very good tool to tracking and tracking this drone traffic in the air. Of course, there always will be the black, dark drones without any possibility to recognize them.
Like cars without number plates.
Yeah, of course. But SIM cards is, of course, the future solution.
But it's not only enough that we have drones with a SIM card. We need to have this united and very easy operating platform for control institutions and for pilots, for them who think to go shady or to go legal. No, you have very easy operating platform. Use it and go with it. So I once again come back to this united system of flights for the city or for the state, where planes, paragliders, drones, everybody comes together and we see them, and the pilots also see another pilot as well.
Daniel says, do we have a precedent for that in neighboring countries, neighboring cities that you can mention? Are we building this kind of platform from scratch? Should that be municipal-based? Should that be state-based, nationwide?
You know, I have only heard talks from different cities who say, we want to have this platform, we want to have it, but it's more like future dream for next 5 years, and it's also related to U-Space, you know.
All right.
Don't touch U-Space, yeah?
We're not in the discussion. Perhaps we need another one. Arnis, any plans for that kind of command center? municipal level?
From technology risks, I believe the biggest, highest risk in this project is this connectivity and the finding the right technical solution, and how it will work and how stable will connection be, and because this is a very crucial point for the managing those flights, and there in this case we very much rely on our stable partner LNT. So yeah, but that's I believe from the technology point is that's the most important point.
Okay, we have 3 minutes. Any more questions from the audience here? No, I don't see any ones. Right. No. Okay, so moving to conclusion, BVLOS is an area which is promising, again, because of limits that we have as humans have, and automation is quite interesting there. 12 months is way too short for us to discuss the progress in future. I would say 5 years is something that the human mind can manage. 5 years, that's quite a bit of time. We didn't have ChatGPT 2 years ago. Now we do. And now it's in operation and in full force. So what new frontiers do we see happening here in BVLOS? Applications, technological backbone to have that in place, or planning of the airspace? Perhaps from your vantage point, would you like to discuss this?
From my point of view, it's to go through all legislation procedures to create this blueprint or guidelines for us, for another areas or for other institutions who want to follow us and to start these BVLOS flights in 5G network.
So that's what you're saying, and let me understand if I don't butcher here, is basically an instruction, step by step, what do you have to do, your homework before you show up to Udis's place?
Yes, of course. Yeah, all SORA protocols or flight scenarios, everything.
And, well, are they complex now to use? Could they become more clear and understandable?
It takes time.
All right, it takes a very time.
It's because we don't have any like guidelines from other projects, so we started from the clear white sheet of paper.
So simplicity, clarity.
Yes.
For them to be had. Arnis, from your perspective, BVLOS flights, is that something that Riga would have to see? Would like to see more happening in the next 5 years?
For sure, they will come. For sure, and we see that those applications, especially in emerging services, they will be added more and more. And yeah, especially as lost mushroom pickers. Well,
picking mushrooms with BVLOS.
Exactly, yeah, and that's most you
a drone for hire.
Most probably, it will be most effective device to use.
And I think it's an important aspect to keep in mind that public sector will be a driver for, especially when it comes to digitizing the monitoring services in the municipal sector, because again, you have an upper hand to move faster than any civil use case. So I see that we'll be having more of the conversation. Yours, from your perspective, we'll have more of BVLOS flights and more demand from private and civil sector?
No, hopefully, of course. We are there to support, and we invite people to get in touch with us, with also air traffic management. Our Latvijas guys, Satiksme, and us in CA, to discuss the topics, because we are not always aware what are the issues, what are you about to do, because we. I'm sure that people are sitting there in the city. Yeah, they don't know. We need this, but we have never heard from you in the first place. So we would. So just make us aware. Also, what are the issues more there? So of course this will take time to resolve. Be a little bit patient because all this takes some time. But still, at least to we will know where to go.
Yuris, I'm going to park here for 30 seconds. So when you say people don't know how to approach you, what would that mean? Should that be an email? Should that be a phone call? If there's a buddy who's interested in BVLOS flight, how do they? What's the protocol to address with you?
No, we offer consultations for individuals, so in cases. If it's a larger case, there are associations also who can, the drone associations, who can also get the community opinion together and help there. So there are ways. So just be active and involve, get involved and get in touch.
And coming back to the point by Stanislaus, from zero to deploying a BVLOS flight, how is that? 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, 18 months? Just give us a number, approximate, a range of number of months, what it would take. When we show up to your place and say we'd like to have a BVLOS flight in urban environment before we have that one in reality.
Now, if you want to go in the city, it depends again. If you are ready, it could take, if you have certified equipment, it might take just as it is a month or two. If you don't have, there are some requirements you have to fulfill. If you are not able to fulfill, then sorry, we cannot allow you to fly there because, again, we are concerned about the people on the ground and in there.
Great. More on that after the break. Evia, we had this discussion before. More use cases drives the business, obviously. We have maturity, we have a degree of reliance there. Where do you see Bivolos heading into the next couple of years? Again, looking at a five-year perspective here.
This project provides us the opportunity to build the first drone network or drone corridor in Baltic states. So we hope that we will have new partners and these use cases to replicate this very good experience which we will get out of this project. And about Bivolos flights, so we see that it is future and we hope it's a very soon future. And we can do it together, but together working with municipality and agency.
Great. That rounds up. In short, Project 5G Live is going to be a facility. Started this year, January. We have two years ahead of us. The team is working very hard, both in Latvia as well as Italy, to deploy, to use this capacity. Again, focusing on critical services. Why? Because I think that the speed there is faster. Public acceptance will be perhaps more soft of that. And value for the energy and time put in is higher. If we can actually save lives or potentially prevent harm happening in public arenas and public health improvements, as well as the landslides in Italy, that's great. And number two, I think the use case in itself drives policy, that we have speed without compromising safety and security. Again, once is enough for something to come down on Earth and again, put the industry in the back end and all the work in vain. And last but not least, potentially looking at the airspace is going to be more crowded and we'll have to have more accuracy and have systems in place that we avoid the potential risks which are coming there and yet driving the value here. And again, public sector being a big player here. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to see this project into fruition. And we hope that we're going to have, end of next year, the first deployments and Bivolos, and again, using the use cases to drive the conversation and that corridor forward for other use cases. Thank you so much. Do you have any other questions? Then this is the last round.
I'll need two rounds of applause. First one goes to Viesturs and the amazing panel. And secondly, as you saw on this stage and others, technology for territory development goes way beyond 5G. I heard jokes, maybe in 10 years we'll see everyone at 11G territory. Well, we're dropping the Gs and expanding on technology. And from now on, we will welcome you also next year to territory, which involves different kinds of technology development for development of territories. So that is the first big news. We will see you next year, and that is in major thanks to the State Electronic Communications Office of Latvia, all of the supporters, all of the partners, and all of the people who are involved technically of putting this thing together. And let's not forget our amazing audience online and here. So that is the second round of applause to everybody involved at Techritory event. A round of applause to everyone.